7:10 p.m. We will call this April 8th, 2026 KPFT LSB regular meeting to order. Let's see. So first item would be to call the roll, making sure we do actually have quorum. Mr. Secretary, if you could do that.
Yes. Melissa Bowie.
Here. Present.
Glenn Atine.
Here.
Present.
Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Jerry Fowler. Lori Gabick. Rhonda Gardner. Garner. Rico Henriquez.
Here.
Michelle Lightfield. Anita Long.
Here.
PK McCary.
Not yet. She's working on it.
Okay. Sean McPherson. Kelly McPherson.
I am.
Corey Mercer.
Here.
Stuart Nance.
Here.
Rick Norris.
I'm here.
Jane Scheidler. Ron Stubers. Michelle Woodson.
We're here. Yep. That's me.
Oh, Michael Woodson. Sorry. Colby
Michael,
Wright.
When did you transition, Michael?
Just now.
Colby Wright. And Susan Young.
Here.
Sandy Weinland.
Present.
And Otis, what was your last name?
Otis is not on the...
Good. He's the peanut right. Gallery.
So we don't want to record Otis as being on the meeting?
Yeah, we're not normally recording other folks who are attending the meeting because there is not a requirement for people to identify themselves if they're, for example, in public comment. So
gotcha.
Generally
okay.
People can be anonymous if they'd like. Otis is not.
Okay.
All right.
You want to go so hear the excused again, or you're good with that?
Yes. Can we get? We should get approval for the excuse. So if you can give me that list, we can
approval.
Request approval.
Okay. So the first excuse is Lillian Kerr. Second is Robert Gartner. Rob Lee. Debbie Smith. And I think that's it.
And we have moved to excuse those folks. Or is there any objection to that? Hearing no objection, those folks are excused. Our next item then would be, after the roll call, is agenda. And so I'll go ahead and read the agenda. We might have people on the phone. So this is, again, the... April 6th or April 8th, KPFT LSB regular meeting by Zoom conference. We started at 7:10 p.m. There's a note, public comment is at a fixed time. That's 8 p.m. Agenda items be taken in order, but can be before or after. A public comment period of 30 minutes is required. Public comment is at 8 p.m., adjournment by 10 p.m., and those are hard points. Other times are estimates. Item one is a call to order. Item two is a roll call and determination of quorum, and including excused absences. Item three is agenda approval. This agenda went out yesterday. My apologies for that. Item 4 is approval of minutes from the previous meeting, which went out in the same email as the agenda. That's for the March 11th meeting. Item 5 is unfinished business, of which I don't have any recorded. Item 6 is new business, and we have several items listed that we can discuss for new business. Item 7 is staff recognition. Item 8 is the general manager's report. Item 9 is public comment. Item 10 is the LSB committee and task force reports. We have development and outreach, governance, committee of inclusion, and the inclusivity task force. Item 11 is the PNB director's report. Item 12 will be confirming the next LSB meeting to be May 13th. And item 13 would be adjournment of the meeting. We do have time limits per speaker for debates and motivation. Of motions, motion makers' motivation up to 90 seconds. Board members can discuss pro and con for 60 seconds. Other discussion should be limited to 60 seconds of speaking per member with the possible addition of 60-second follow-up. And then we have time limits on public comment, but I will do that when we get to public comment. Are there any objections or amendments to the agenda as read? Okay, not hearing any, then this agenda is approved. Item 4 then is the approval of the minutes. Are there any objections to or amendments to the minutes as they were sent out? Those minutes, thank you. Item 5 then is unfinished business. To the best of my knowledge, there's no unfinished business unless somebody knows of something. You can bring that up. You do have something. Item 6 is new business. I've had requests to add several items to the agenda under new business, one being election of there's a membership and fundraising coordinator and a community outreach coordinator that are listed in the, yes, in the bylaws. And Ms. Young would like to speak to that.
Pardon me, before we get to that, could somebody mute the phone number 4892?
It doesn't look like Otis has made me co-host.
Okay.
Second. I think he went to get a cup of tea.
Okay.
And
Mr. Susan, you're recognized.
Yeah, I'd like to note that Jane Scheidler's here. So
really?
Cool. Is it appropriate?
4892, could you mute yourself, please?
And oh, goody. Paris is here, and she was upset.
That and the bulldozer is not me over.
Excuse me, the door is locked. You know, but her hands have been tied.
Take this time out of their public comment.
You can't
skip
the IRS once in 8 months. They closed me everything. All the guys, my trust fund, which I've been kicking into, I'm 25. If you can whip it out and I'm gone and age 4 years, I'm
a can Otis mute him?
Yeah, Otis isn't on right now. Oh, there he is. Can you make Ron the co-host? Okie dokie.
What do I do? You'll just have to do what everyone else who needs money has to do. What's that? What people do. What am I, a mind reader? Get a job. Get a job. I've never had a job. I don't know the first thing about having a job. All I've got on my resume is academic achievements.
4892.
11,000 people vying for an opening in the garden department at Walmart. Paris, wait. As you said, Yale School for it. That's the bright side. From now on, you'll just have to keep your expenses low. And I could get you some work right away. How would that be? Really? Yes. I know you'll be a hard worker. That's a given. I definitely would be. and you know I speak Chinese.
Who's hosting this? Well, Otis has got to make.
Otis is on his way. He's just left, got his tea, and went back to the office.
Okay. Technical difficulties.
All right. That being done, my apologies for that. So,
a chair.
I am able to meet people now. So, yes.
The wrong number is the March. The March number is being used, but a completely different number is posted. So a lot of people cannot get in. Somebody needs to repost the correct number. The link, like 886-6772-9180.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Good.
All right. That being said, can we, Ms. Young, you would like to speak to?
Is it all right if I speak to the, new positions in the election?
You have the floor, yes.
Great. Okay. The 2025 bylaws adopted by the court April 10 last year changed the entire board, but that's effective January 2027. And we have elections this year to elect people to the boards in their new structures. But during a transition period, what the bylaws have provided is that there's a division between what the national board does and what the local station board does. And there is a refocus of the local station board onto fundraising and outreach. There are two new officer positions that have been created to focus on those. One is called the outreach coordinator, and the other one is called the fundraising and fundraising/membership coordinator. We can, and it's a good idea for us to elect those positions this year so we can help get a better understanding of what those roles are and start to really build the coordination that will be needed between LSB members and management, Sandy and his team. So I am recommending that we hold elections for those two positions. Only LSB members can run for those positions. No one on the PNB and no one who is not on the LSB. So those of us who are not on the PMB, who are on this call, are eligible to run. What I think we've contemplated is we make an announcement. We encourage people on the board to consider running. It may be people who've been already active with the Outreach and Development Committee, or who have worked, who've done volunteering with others. And so we're asking for nominations, or we're asking for volunteers, if you will, to be considered at the next board meeting.
All right. We have people at the moment who are interested. I guess we could do, if you're interested now and you know you're interested, or we can work that out between now and the next meeting. It's a little more difficult between now and the next meeting, but are there people interested in, there is the community outreach coordinator. And that, of course, will have to, you know, we have a committee that is development and outreach. So there's some coordination that happens there. This will have to sort of be defined as we go along and figure out, as Susan said as well, how do we work well with management and the activities that are already ongoing there. Okay. So any takers on the community outreach coordinator?
Don't all rush in.
I may have to assign somebody between now and the next.
We may enlist.
Yeah, we may have to twist some arms. We also have the membership and fundraising coordinator, which is, so I think I saw a hand up, actually. Not a hand up. Let's see. Morgan, she's working on listening.
We might nominate people who are not at this meeting.
True. Well, membership and fundraising coordinator sounds like it. Let's see. That's a split between, development and, membership. And of course, Robin is our membership director, I think. I would actually nominate Rob in that position, since he's not at this meeting. And,
I second that nomination.
We will see.
Chair, if you look in the chat, I think Melissa Bowie is,
okay. Melissa, are you,
puts her hat in.
Are you considering, outreach coordinator?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yes, okay. The outreach.
I second that.
I would, say if, are there other nominations or requests for that? Otherwise, are there any objections to, Melissa trying that out? And it's a little bit of, you know, we're going to have to pioneer these. So, because they're not defined in the bylaws. They're just named in the bylaws. So, so are there, if there are no objections.
Right. Yeah. Just tell me what that is. Yeah. I'll give it a go.
We'll work that out. Okay, excellent. Thank you very much. Then, we do have then the membership and fundraising coordinator. We have one, nomination for that. Not hearing other people jumping at that. So, we can see what we have before the next meeting. And, to facilitate that, the second item of new business was listed as a survey of interest. And Susan, would you like to expand on that as well?
Something that has been done at least one other station is to send out a very simple survey to LSB members that says, what are the things that you think are good strategies to raise money, increase membership, you know, outreach, and what are things that you are willing to do, and what is your experience? So what this survey, which I believe Ron may have already sent out, is intended to do is to help us all understand from each other what our strengths and interests are, and to kind of surface ideas about that you all have, that we all have, about strategies that have worked, that we're familiar with. I think virtually everybody on this call has been involved with a whole variety of organizations. So we want to draw on that expertise. So I would hope that people would fill this out and respond in advance of the next meeting. And then that will give both the outreach coordinator, Melissa, and the fundraising membership coordinator, Rob, we hope, a good set of ideas and people to work with.
Okay, great. And I did not send anything out. Is there a draft or something that came to me?
Yes, I sent it to you in an email I sent you. I can redo it again.
I will, I'll find that and, forward that to the board and get that out to everyone. Yeah, the idea, I was talking to Rob Lee this afternoon, and Rob also mentioned that if we wanted to get together and, discuss, what people's strengths were and how we might as a board utilize those strengths in terms of the activities that we are supposed to be taking care of, that he would be happy to host a, you know, like a 10 to noon on a Saturday coffee or something, and nothing heavy duty, but just like if people wanted to get together and say, this is what I'm interested in doing, that he would be happy to do that.
Great.
So, I mean, let's see, let's send this out, and we'll see what people think as well about doing that. The third item, on the new business was a motion to adjust, public comment rules. We have limits on, time, on speaking time for public comment. And the request was that if, say civic association or nonprofit or someone who was to come in, instead of taking 3 minutes at one point and then 3 minutes at another point, since they're a representative of an organization, that we would put their two sets of 3 minutes together and give them 6 minutes. They don't get more time, but they get it in one shot. Motion for that would be that speakers during the public comment period for the KPFT LSB meeting are allowed 3 minutes per turn and up to two turns. Let's see. I'm reading the wrong part. The motion to amend the rules for public comment would be a move that where a civic group wishes to speak during public comment, that they may take their two each 3 minute periods back to back for a 6 minute period. Are there any discussion or objections to making that modification to those rules? All right. Not hearing any objection, seeing a lot of muted folks. That motion passes. So it's a kind of a minor modification. Those are the items that we have for new business. Item 7 is staff recognition. Do we have folks who would like to toss something in for staff recognition? You can raise your hand.
Yeah.
Lyndon, you're first.
Yes. I attended the crawfish boil. And so I'd like to, I don't know all of the staff that were, you know, involved in that, but I know our general manager, Sandy, and Marlo and Rico were there. And of course, Robin probably had a huge, you know, part of that, and it was a big success. And so all the staff, I'd like to commend them for that job they did. And it was a great time.
Great. Thank you very much. Anybody else?
I'd like to echo that comment. It was a lot of fun, actually. And it was neat to see everybody working together. And I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, the music, everything was top notch. I felt like it was a lot of fun. It was good. You guys always produce great events.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I had nothing to do with it, so I directed traffic in the parking lot. That was, Susan?
I would just like to compliment KPFT staff as a whole. Because there are many, many ways in which KPFT is demonstrating what a well-managed station looks like. So, for instance, Robin has the greatest expertise in the entire system for managing allegiance. She teaches other people how to do that. We are paying our full central services, and that's no small thing. We have got a great schedule of activities like the crawfish boil that are working really, really well and require a lot of staff effort. They're great outreach efforts and, good fundraising tools. So there are just many, many ways in which KPFT is a model that the rest of the network can learn from. And let me just say one other thing. I'm sorry, I always forget the other thing. You know, Monty Python. Sandy gives the best written reports. I don't think anybody else in the system provides a written report like that. It is excellent. And thank you, Sandy. Very informative.
Something there was at the Fishboil, and I thought it was very well run, and had volunteers taking care of all sorts of things with hardly a hitch at all, and crawfish, lots of crawfish, and lots of everything else. So I thought it went very well. The people that I talked to really enjoyed it. So thanks for running that. Thanks for putting that together, and thank you for all the folks that worked hard out there doing it. Okay. Anybody else? Going once, going twice. Okay. That's staff recognition. Item 8 is the general manager's report. So, Mr. Wayne.
Okay. Thank you. And yeah, that crawfish boil was fun. I got some notes on that, but first, let me start by saying that as we enter into this month, we still remain on course budget-wise, meeting all our obligations, all our bills that need to be paid are being paid, and we're on track to fulfill the budget on the revenue side and track expenses the same way. Let's hope it keeps on going that way. We already had a transmitter occurrence after all this year, cost a little extra money. I also want to take time to just say, we all are very sorry and send our condolences to the Schrell family. We lost Scooter, Kurt Schrell, who longtime programmer, good friend of Otis, and longtime Pacifica participant. And he passed away after a battle with cancer. He will be missed. So just want to extend those wishes to Wendy and the kids. We continue to look at hardening our signal. Mo did drop off a 2-kilowatt transmitter. Hopefully it'll be installed in May. Stuart, Nance, and I were down at the permit office this week looking at trying to get a permit to put up our STL tower. Whatever looks easy up front is not, especially when dealing with the permit office. So we are enlisting tomorrow. In fact, I'll sign a contract. We have to get a soil sample, and we also have to get stamped PE drawings to go along with that to apply for the permit. So we're going to be doing that up front. The permit process, once we apply, is 20 days. And I don't want to oversell it. It looks like July by the time this thing will be functional, but we're going to continue to pursue our microwave link, replacing the internet link. And I can tell you tonight, the internet at my house is unstable. So if you lose me, I'll be back when they reconnect. So thank you, Stuart, for your help on that project. Also, David Britton has participated in a real good way, supplying engineered drawings, which we needed. David is a civil engineer and was able to help us out. So volunteer effort going a long way on that particular project. We did spend many hours last month on that crawfish boil. All of us did. Oh, my God. The number of details was just incredible. But I want to thank Arlo for helping out. Sinbad was there. Howard was there. Gary Lee. Jan Jogmeyer showed up, and he was helping out. Steve Nolan. Sandra Rawline. Lyndon's on the call. Without him, that sign that we bought to put up might still be there. Thank you, Lyndon, for cutting that down. Carla, also, thank you. Debbie and Scott Smith, I don't know if Debbie's on the call tonight, but thank you for your participation. Pete Little, Blue, Myanna Lee, Ron, our board chair, thank you. Laura Gabeck, who unfortunately is not on this call, showed up with a couple of her friends and provided food service for all in a very pleasant way. Joanna Jetton, our bluegrass programmer. Annette Zinn, our oldest, longest running volunteer at KPFT. She's been around since the beginning. and she's still helping out in the very Pub 36. Chad Habetz, who cooked that food, many people said it was the best crawfish they ever ate. I think I can agree with that. And in the middle of all of this, we have to thank Robin Lewis, who just held the whole thing together and showed up, and she worked the event. I did too, but wow, we can't do it without Robin. We also, this may have been one of the best outreach events we ever did too. During the course of the event, I sat down next to Sweet Mama Cotton, as many people know her. We were talking, and she introduced me to the friend of hers at the table, Alex. Alex is from Huntsville. Alex is an electrical engineer who retired from NASA. I think he can handle our translator in Huntsville. We're going up there Friday with Bill Crozier and with Howard. We're going to meet Alex and drive over to the site, show him where it is, and those tin cans and that set of strings will be his going forward to maintain. And he's happy to do it. So a new volunteer right in the middle of a crawfish boil. Who would have thunk it? April 18th is our blues cruise. It's sold out. That's with Nuri Nuri. I think we have, it's 75, 77 is capacity, and I saw 75, and that's about all we're going to take. I want to thank Teresa and Matt and company for coming in and calling lapsed donors. You were recently, and I know that number now is close to $6,000 that we've already done this year. And we talked in the development committee, I don't steal your thunder, about enlisting a second team of folks to call lapsed donors on a regular basis. If you can be one of those, then you have that interest. Please do step forward. This is turning into a way to support the station that we really didn't have overlooked for years and years. So formalizing this campaign and getting it to the point where it's more disciplined will yield better results. And we could do as much as 1 month of song a year through these efforts. It's a big deal, really big deal. I want to thank Arlo and Rico, who put up some lighting in our studio in the reception area. Thank you for those efforts. I want to, again, I think I did it last month, but I'm going to do it again. Every single programmer that supplies that content that you listen to each and every week, all month long, all three channels, big thank you, honoring that commitment. We don't put it in there. They supply it. So it takes a village to fill up three channels. I want to thank Amplified Houston again for all they are doing and the dollars that are flowing in through that and exposing 501c3s to the public on a very regular basis. And Rico, who's on the call, is right in the middle of all that. So thank you, Rico, for those efforts. That's a very important program. Also, Arlo does continue to take care of the yard, comes by, cuts the lawn, trims back the weeds. And I want to thank him because it's a needed function, and he's the only one stepping up to do it, and he's enjoying doing it too. So that's a win-win for everybody. I want to thank Howard Reynolds as well. We should always thank Howard for keeping that pile of tin cans and string going. It's a miracle it works most of the time. So thank you, Howard. You know, Elise Bench is our soch. She takes care of social media. And now Blue, our afternoon board op, has joined her. And in the last year, we had 1.47 million views on Facebook. That's a bunch. That's more than our listener base by a good bit. So driving social media hopefully will help us to increase membership down the road. Interestingly, last election, when we put the effort out on social media to get people to step up to run, we've got three or four applications where people weren't even members. So we're reaching new folks this way, and we need to continue to push that, and we will. There were a lot of weekday program changes made that were detailed in the report. I want to call that to your attention. Marla works very hard coordinating with the volunteers. It's easy to say, I like this program at 2 o'clock, but if the programmer has a job, it doesn't happen. So there's a lot that goes on whenever program changes are made, and we're trying to bring new content to the air that's germane to our community and keep it rolling, keep it fresh. So Rico and Blue work with new people when they come in. I want to thank both of them again for coordinating, doing the training, bringing them in, telling people, you know, instructing them in studio, I'll call it etiquette, but proper use of equipment, et cetera. And they're doing a great job. Midterms recently had Mayor Anise Parker on live, and that show is well received. I just want to point out that even, you know, this is shows that we have in the evening are just as valuable as shows in the morning or midday. And I hope that some of you are listening in the evening hours too. We're going to be making even more changes as we go forward this year after the 6 p.m. hour. So events coming soon. We got the Art Car Parade Saturday. I hope to see many of you participating. Myself, I have a show to do. I'll be on the air during that, but that is a fun time. If you want to volunteer to help out, get things set up, Robin Lewis is still looking for help. So it's robin@kpft.org, or just call me and we'll get you hooked up. We could use another hand or two, I think. I mentioned the Blues Cruise the week later, April 18th. On May 16th, Amy Goodman will be in town for Steal This Story, which is going to be screening at the River Oaks Theater. We are getting a screening at 4 o'clock for KPFT. We'll be putting tickets on sale May 1st. The event is May 16th. There'll also be a limited reception, limited number of people reception at the Mucky Duck prior to that screening for people that want to attend that. And we'll be offering all those tickets starting May 1st, that May 16th event. The May-June fund drive, the next fund drive, tentatively May 21st to June 14th. We will have a blood drive. The Gulf Coast Regional Blood Center will have their donor coach parked adjacent to our building on May 28th from 1:30 to 5 p.m. There'll be a sign-up sheet online, or if you just drop by, I'm sure they can get you in. Save a life, roll up a sleeve, and give back at the same time we're getting funded. Our market share ticked up to 0.4. Cumulative listening also was up, 106,700 hours. If you notice, the signal quality after Mo left town greatly improved, and I think that has a lot to do with those numbers increasing. In terms of our finances, monthly sustainer income is presently $27,065, coming from 1,570 distinct donors. The 56 for 56 campaign, which kicked off on March 1st when we're not in fund drive, that's the bucket everything else goes into, it is over $19,268 when I last looked. We have 251,337.23 in the bank, and this includes tower rents, which have been paid for the month. BMI, the quarterly BMI, ASCAP has been paid. It also includes central services for March, not for April yet. And we will be spending money on the tower. So if I take the tower step out, the balance would be around $226,000, which is still not bad at this juncture. And that's what I got. So if you have any questions, fire away.
No questions for me. Looks pretty complete. Susan?
I just wanted to note that we've had two people arrive, PK McCary and Rhonda Garner.
We seem to have lost Rhonda again, right?
Maybe so. She was here.
PK, can you say that you are present?
Present.
Thank you. Richard, you have her. Rhonda, you're here. If we pick her back up, we can count her. All right. Thank you, sir, for that is the general manager report. We have about 7 minutes left, so we can, for public comment, we can move. I thought I saw something move again, but we can move on to the committee and task force reports, development and outreach committee. So who's running development and outreach now?
Still
open. Okay.
Still Teresa.
Still Teresa. Okay. Teresa is not in the meeting this evening, so, I won't have a report from her. In terms of governance, I don't believe that there's been a meeting, and Debbie is not in the meeting this evening. The Committee of Inclusion. We have any information from the Committee of Inclusion? So we don't have Adriana or PK is here. Okay, not hearing a report from that committee. We have the Inclusivity Task Force, which is also currently Michelle and PK, unless other folks have joined there. Any report on activities there?
I haven't met with anyone, Michelle. Tori and I have talked about the data that we've analyzed, and but it's still not finished. There's a lot to look at, and right now the world is going to hell in a handbasket with these wars and everything is high, and so I'm working on my project Restorative Justice, and did the first workshop, not first workshop, actually it's the third workshop of Restorative Justice and the work that I did, but there have been no real meeting, and I think that part of that has a lot to do with a kind of depression of we're harming one another. But I don't want to get on a soapbox or anything. I am trying to build relationships and do the work that I've set out to do as it relates to restorative justice.
All right. Thank you. I saw Teresa that you are there. Do you have information about development and outreach? Can you hear? Do you development and outreach?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So do you want me to give a report?
Yes, if you would. We've got a couple of minutes, then we have to roll to public comment, but please.
All right. Well, thank you for your patience. Basically, the most important thing that's on our mind right now is distributing some literature at the Art Carver Parade, which is this Saturday. Parade starts at 2. Our objective is to go there early and pass out literature while in the staging area, while people are just kind of, you know, walking around looking at the cars. And we can also have clipboards, see if we can get some people on our lists. Still continuing with calling lapsed donors. And if there are any board members who would like to join a team of people calling lapsed donors, it's a great way to meet people. sometimes people are screening their calls, but many people just really were not aware that they hadn't given in a while, maybe because they thought it was coming out of their credit card, and for some reason they changed their card. So if you would like to be on a team like that, please contact me, okay? And if you'd also like to help with our car parade in any way, there are teams that are helping with the car or, you know, with the vehicle, and but I'm kind of coordinating people that are, you know, passing out literature. I'm working with Debbie Smith on this. And that's about it.
Okay, great.
Oh, I don't know. Well, I'm sure Sandy already told you how successful the Crawfish Fest was, right?
I'm not sure I got a number on that, but yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Fun was had by all.
Yeah. Bravo, everybody. Bravo for you.
All right. Thank you, Teresa. So we're just a couple of minutes shy of the 8 o'clock then. So our bylaws. Sorry, Tori, you have some?
No.
Okay. Jane, do you have your hand up?
I have two things, and neither of them is particularly useful, so I'll be really fast. One was, we did have a governance meeting, and I can't find my notes, but I don't think there was anything earth-shattering that took place in the meeting, because otherwise I would like to think that I would remember. Number two is, I just want to thank Teresa and her team, because I discovered to my dismay that I was a lapsed donor, because you could have tortured me, and I would have told you that it came out of my card every month, blah, 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 blah. But no. So it can happen, dare I say it, even board members. It can happen to anyone. So I really appreciate the work that Teresa and her team do to round us up and get us back into the fold and back on her cards. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jane. And if it makes you feel any better, when I was getting the crawfish boil tickets, I figured out that I was also a lapsed donor. So... yes, credit cards, there we are. Anyway, so public comment coming up. Our bylaws call for a 30-minute interval for public comment. This gives opportunity for the public to address the board. The rules for this time are as follows. No personnel issues, ad hominem attacks, slander, or derogatory statements to be made about people. I'll give a warning first, and then if behavior continues, then people can be ejected. We hope that that won't happen. Unfortunately, the board is not allowed to comment, speak, or respond to discussion during this period of time, so that should not be expected. Time for speakers is 3 minutes per person, and if all speakers have had an opportunity, then people who have spoken before may speak up to two times total. Then that takes us just right here to about 8 o'clock. I've got 7:59. And I see a hand up, Mr. Harper.
Hello, Mr. Chair. How are you, sir?
Excellent. Thank you. What's on your mind tonight?
I think we did an excellent job during the fund drive. Everybody's to be commended for their efforts, and also our development and outreach committee is working very hard to come up with ways to raise money for the station. Positively is the best way to do things, and teamwork is also the best way to do things. So we can't have any negativity for the station. We're all one family, and we need to be stayed that way. I don't see any reason for negativity, and I hope everybody else feels the same way that I do. And working together, and always helps. Teamwork always helps. So let's keep going, guys. And I do believe we're in our 56th year. So happy birthday to KPFT, and let's keep going. That's all I have right now at this time.
All right. Great. Thank you. Other members of the public who would like to address the board? Anybody there? Okay, 1438. I think that's Nancy. You have the floor. You're now muted. There you are.
Okay. Thank you. March 24th on kpfex.org is the National Finance Committee. And the chair, who is from KPFA, announced that we have, I mean, I almost quote him by word, we have no national business manager. We have no business managers at the stations, unquote. And last Thursday night, last week, Serene Roberts is from BAI, is a national director, and she asked to clarify, for Fred Dodsworth to clarify that. Is that what he said? And he confirmed, yes, that's what he told the National Finance Committee. And then Susan Young, our PNB director from KPFT, she said we have a national finance manager and network, and we have one business manager at KPFA. And I was surprised because the ED was present but said nothing. And if it's true that we don't have any business managers, I think this board should make a new committee to oversee some kind of finance and documentation that's going on at our local level. I mean, if we don't have any finance managers, at least, you know, the fallback is having a local LSB finance committee. I mean, if there ever was a need, there's a need now. This is the worst situation that I have seen in my, 16 years of watching this board or being on it. This is really not good. And what would it hurt if we had a LSB finance committee, people who were interested in checking and watching? And what would it hurt? In fact, it should be done. And most of the people on this board were elected when the previous bylaws were in place that said you have financial responsibility for the membership. You stand for the membership. So I recommend this LSB make a finance committee. It has no power, really, except for clarifying things. The PNB has the supreme power, but this is a horrible situation.
So that would be 3 minutes, if you'll hang in there. Are there other members of the public who would like to address the board? Mr. Harper?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Not trying to be rude to the previous speaker, but however, I do believe that she mentioned a board member here on the LSB, and I think that she needs to be corrected on that issue. No LSB members to be spoken of or spoke about during this board meeting. Is that my understanding of the rules? So that's all I have.
All right. Thank you. What I've got is personnel issues, ad hominem attacks, slander, or derogatory comments. are not to be made. Nancy, do you have, let's see, if we don't have other members of the public, then Nancy, you have an additional 3 minutes.
Okay, thank you. 806. Oh, I really do believe we can get more, a new audience, new membership by doing something that will really connect and help our, help the people. By having a town halls and, on very burning issues. Right now, last week at City Hall, many public comments were made of the motion that the newly elected one, Salinas is her name, said that when there are traffic stops, that if there's no warrant, that the motorist is free to leave after the traffic stop is finished and not have to wait for ICE. And anyway, many people were there. It was a full house, and they were speaking. This is a really important issue because of all the cities, the New York Times reported Houston is number one in the loss of about 5,200 people, most of them brown, disappeared from the streets of Houston last year in the first 9 months. And then the Houston Chronicle reported last month, last year, 54,000 Texans disappeared last year, most of them brown. So this is a burning issue. Our brown brothers and sisters are being disappeared. A former board member called me and told me they cannot find their cousin. He's disappeared. I mean, we're number one in state loss of disappearances, mostly brown, and we're number one in the city, of all the cities. The next is Los Angeles, which I think was 4,200, so about 1,000 less. I can go on and on. Atlanta, New York City, Washington, D.C., Chicago, and Minneapolis. But we're number one. But you can listen to KPFT, and you would know it. You wouldn't know we have burning issues, people suffering here. We need to have a town hall about this. And then also, and we need to be more sensitive to these issues. Now, if you don't like brown people, then maybe this will change your mind. In 2022, undocumented, they have a tax number. It's not a Social Security. They don't receive any benefits, but they paid $96 billion in tax for their work, their salaries, their property tax, their sales tax, state tax, local taxes, $96 billion in 2022. That's not going to be that much in 2025. Another thing, 21 people incarcerated
in Nancy, that's,
died.
3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you.
So are there other members of the public who would like to address the board? Not seeing any at the moment, then we'll move on with the agenda. And that would be item 11 would be the PNB director's report. Reports.
Sure. Okay. I forwarded to everybody the executive director's report, which is very thorough, very informative. I encourage you all to read it. It's, you know, similar to Sandy's in terms of how thorough it is and that she, and she's able to describe a lot of things that are being accomplished, and it will be posted on KPFT, on Pacifica.org. Big items for that are Pacifica has been forming a national news capability, has a team designated for that. And the leaders for that are Ursula Rudenberg who heads the affiliate network. And Pacifica has something like 250 affiliates around the country. It's a very powerful network. And then Bob Henley, who is actually just became the permanent GM at WBAI, is a journalist, and he is helping Ursula spearhead that. And they put together a whole, whole series for No Kings that involved several stations, both within the network and outside the network. So that is a very important development that we wish to build on. The ED has named two general managers and has their full bios and so forth in there. It is under the new bylaws. It is the ED's sole responsibility. One is the general manager for WPFW. Apologize, her name is Cheyenne, and I'm not going to get her second name. And very interesting person. I think she comes from Hawaii, of all places. And the other is Bob Henley, who has been the interim general manager for WBAI for 2 years or so, and he was named permanent GM, which is great. And then the ED also named the national election supervisor. So the bylaws used to provide that the ED named a national election supervisor who could not be a member of management, but had sole responsibility for organizing and making decisions about the elections. Stephanie, the executive director, put out a call for proposals. Two people proposed, and the person who was selected is Anya Lovis. And she has impressive credentials. She has run elections before for various organizations. She has great computer skills, and she also is a mediator. So several of the elements that are important for the election are, one, the membership lists and the rosters for staff, working in conjunction with Election Buddy, the firm that last year handled portions of our elections, and they're going to actually handle more of them. They are a very respected third party entity, so that there can be more confidence in the results. And she also does mediation. And so one of the important, very important issues in managing the elections is responding to complaints. There are fair campaign provisions, and there are a lot of complaints around those, and there's sort of an adjudicatory responsibility for the NES. And I think Anya has all of those capabilities. Additionally, the ED said that she thought it's good to, change, similarly to auditors, change who the NES is from time to time. So there has been a person who has served in that capacity, I think 2021 to through last year. And Anya is the new person now. And it's a good time to make the change, because the 2025 bylaws require a complete rewrite of the website, because there are different offices that people will run for. That will be set up soon. The most important thing probably for all of us to pay attention to is we need to make sure that all the deadbeats like Ron and Jane get their memberships renewed, and that we encourage as many people as possible to become members. The deadline for being a member to be able to vote or being a member who's able to run is June 30th. So encourage everybody to check your records and make sure that you're up to speed on stuff. The other important thing that has happened is that the committees have been working very, very hard. And I want to especially tip my hat to the audit committee. We have had a very difficult time over a number of years because of the massive reduction in financial management staff and in all kinds of mishaps, like a member of the community who accused the firm we had on retainer of malfeasance, and they resigned. So we, the audit committee, reviewed proposals from three audit firms that have very good practices with nonprofits, and then followed up with communications with the firms for follow-up questions. The decision has been made, and communications are underway to engage the auditor that was selected and to communicate with those who were not selected, but with whom we might have a relationship in the future. This is a big step. When the having the audit engagement letter permits the executive director to go to the attorney general in California and to the IRS and check important boxes for our being in compliance. So this is a major, major step. We will not be releasing the name. There are two I'm probably saying more than people want to hear, but it's really important and it's been a problem for us for a long time. There are two signatories for the engagement. One is me as the PMB chair and the other is the executive director. There are two tracks for working with an audit. Management provides all the financial information in response to questions of the auditors, and the auditors compile the financial information and they evaluate management's performance. They then report to governance. So that would first be the audit committee and then the full board about what the financial results are and their review of management's capabilities. So that is now underway, and it's a big and important step for us all. Personnel is going to start meeting again. We did the whole executive director review last year. We're now going to be moving forward on working on policies and procedures and to help the ED with that. The governance committee has asked the PNB to ask all secretaries to provide the minutes and postings for LSB committee and town hall meetings. And so that will give us a good information of where we're in compliance and where we are not. And I think Michael Woodson, who serves on NSC, may be able to say what they have been up to and what is upcoming.
All right. Thank you, Suzanne. Yes, I am the representative on the National Finance Committee, and we met on March the 17th and the 24th. And what we did on those meetings is we talked about a policy and procedure manual for national, the national office, which of course would affect our station. So a financial management policies packet, and we looked at that a while back. And it was very cumbersome, so we agreed that we would look at it again when suggestions came in for focused concerns, because it's just a lot to look at, and it was more or less a generic but applicable management policies and procedure manual. So I guess besides that, I would like to say that we talked about consolidated annual results of finances and looking to authorize that the 2025 annual results, which is the combined financial results of Pacifica at large, you know, the parent, you know, the national office. And then I would just add that we're going to meet on April the 28th and look into a fairly touchy subject, the central services payments. If you don't know that, each station pays a certain percent. Sometimes it's called the tithe to fund the national office in part, but it's, well, someone else can fill you in on how much it is, but it's, you know, it's an amount of money that our station raises in fund drive that goes to national office. So we're going to be looking at what stations are paying all, part or none of this central service payment, and to talk about the options to boost the station's ability to pay it if they're neglecting it or not being able to meet the requirement. And that's pretty much it. One last note is we are now going to meet once a month rather than twice a month, and we're going to be meeting on the fourth Tuesday of the month. And that's my report.
Thank you, sir. Tori, you have your hand up. You have a question?
Yeah, I read the letter from Stephanie Wells, and I was very happy to see that there's going to be an initiative to do national programming, national news. I think that's what really ties us together as a network. It actually, that's what's in fact makes us a network, is national programming. And, you know, it's we did it well at some point in the distant past. Probably most of the people here don't remember that, but Larry Bensky was a national reporter. There was a couple of other people. You know, there was somebody from every station that could report from, you know, that signal area, you know, to everybody else in Pacifica, you know, when there was a national event. And so I'm really happy about this new initiative, you know, and having news, too, that's across the network that's aligned with the mission. I think Elise Bench and Edberto Willis would be excellent national reporters from Houston, to, you know, for events that are emanating from Houston, national national events, you know, like the CERAWeek, for instance, that happened a couple of weeks ago, this huge energy conference, so, you know, hundreds of people, you know, protesting against it. And a question is, you know, this seems to be, it was basically rolled out and started with the No Kinks protest, which was a national event in Pacifica, and it was, you know, on every station except for KPFT. And I'm wondering why KPFT missed this opportunity. Seems like a huge mistake. Susan, you have an idea why we didn't program, we didn't broadcast? And why isn't this mandated? From Pacifica
none of the at this time, Pacifica does not mandate programming. Each station has participated differentially. The person who needs to answer that is Sandy, not me. And let me say, we started actually before No Kinks. This started during when there were the 2024. National conventions and the 2024 election.
So if I get this right, the you know, there's going to be all this effort to go into putting together a national programming for, to, you know, turn us into, you know, or return us into a national network, you know, and but then any station could just opt out of it.
Absolutely. Each station, many of the stations have their own programming that they're doing about local issues. And so they incorporate the national programming as their own schedule purposes.
All we had was music all day long on No King's Day. You know, we missed a huge opportunity to, report about this, you know, fascist, you know, coup that's happening, you know, not just here, but all over the world. You know, the fascists are taking over. We could have had some national programming that addressed that. But what did we have? You know, a jukebox. You put your money in and the music comes out. So why can't we have this mandated?
The LSB doesn't mandate programming.
And the PNB, basically we would have a big refusal from virtually every station. They don't want to be dictated to. This is one of the things that we inherit as a tradition with the network. And it's one of the things that we'll need to address in terms of strategic planning. It'll be the restructured board that will be taking that on.
Well, I think you should put that at the top of the list, because that's what turns us into an actual network. Otherwise, we're just, you know, another nonprofit.
They're independently programmed. All right. Thank you. So that would, I believe, conclude our Mr. Wyman. You have your hand up.
Yes, thank you. Tori's comment, KPFA didn't carry the national broadcast. They got their own thing. They don't want it. It's just like Susan said, each station is run independent in terms of programming. And if they get their act together and actually produce headline news, which is what they're talking about, twice a day, 2 6-minute inserts, if it's any good, we'll run it. So we test marketed the Berkeley News to a couple, three people, and we got a uniform reaction. It sounds like a great idea, Tori, but it always comes down to the content and the presentation, and is it good radio? So we've got the responsibility to honor our commitment to those making donations. I would have talked to you about this at the crawfish boil, but I didn't see you there. So just wanted to respond. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. So that takes us through the director's reports. Item 12 is confirmation of our next LSB meeting.
I would like to say something.
Teresa?
We do have a responsibility to the mission, and I'm hoping that our executive director will work with our general managers to assure that we will honor our mission statement. I don't know what comes first, not getting any news or people that donate don't want to hear any news. As a person that always liked both, I can appreciate Tori's point. And I think that should be, as to the best of our ability, that should be a priority for us to deliver news. Thank you.
Sandy, you had?
Yeah. You know, it all comes down to volunteers and the ability to do this. I would remind you that stations doing news in Pacifica, but by and large aren't paying their central services because their programming doesn't attract an audience large enough or that will contribute. KPFT is paying central services. KPFA is paying half of their central services. Nothing from New York, nothing from LA. It's a balance to everybody that's concerned about mission. If you really look at it in the right light, almost anything is mission. So I'm very proud of all the volunteer efforts that go into producing what we have. You know, there's HD2, there's HD3. How many of you actually listen enough to make the determinations that you're making with such broad stroke? It's very offensive to those efforts.
All right, thanks. So my understanding is that there's action underway to work on nationwide news and news information, and that we will evaluate, that we as a station, not the LSB, will evaluate that as it becomes available. So that's my interpretation of what I just heard. Again, then the next LSB meeting is May 13th, 2026. Are there any objections to that date? Not hearing any objections. That will be our next meeting. Item 13 then is adjournment of this meeting. Do I hear? I see that Susan is moving to adjourn this meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Accepted. Thank you everyone for your contributions and for contributing to this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are adjourned. It's 8:32 p.m. We can take us off the stream.